God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Today is March 12th. Another 10 days, it'll be spring. Praise God. We're looking out. We still have, six, 7 inches of snow in the yard. More snow coming next weekend, was it, I heard? Praise God. What's that?
Ungodly snow.
So, I moved to Vermont. I moved to Vermont in 1998. St. Patrick's Day of 1998. It was a Tuesday night. That weekend, we had 15 inches of snow. I had never seen more than 2 inches of snow at one time in my life. I was absolutely thrilled. I'm walking around, this is great, this is wonderful, look what God sent me. And Vermonters are over snow by this time of year. They were pretty sure I was crazy. That hasn't changed in 25 years. People are still pretty sure I'm crazy. But I can take a thrill in what God does. People that are, it is so common as we go through our lives to get complacent and to just not recognize that looking out and seeing white on the lawn is a miracle from God. Remember, God told Job, says, do you know where I keep the storehouses of snow? God stores that stuff up to give it to us as a gift. But we look at it, we don't see it as a gift. We see it as back-breaking work, shoveling that stuff out of the way. Maybe we see it as a perfect opportunity to go out and fire up that cool snowblower. Maybe not. But God is at work even in the little things. This has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but I just wanted to throw that out there. I want to talk this morning about justice and mercy. On Monday morning, on my way to work, I went a different way than I normally go. And I went by the house of somebody that I know is in a relationship that does not line up with what God calls ideal, or right, or moral, or any of that. And as I drove by this house, and I thought about, Lord, deliver them from this, I don't remember the thought I had, unbiblical, improper lifestyle. And in the distance of from that stop sign to that bridge, God hit me right square between the eyes. Because I was singling out a lifestyle that's not according God's word, as though it was worse than my lifestyle before coming to the Lord that's not according to His word. I'm going to get into a bunch of scriptures, which is not surprising for me, but I want to stop and just flesh out this thought before I go into scripture to back it up. When we say that one sin is worse than another, we're not being obedient to the Bible. We are being like the Pharisee when he was in the temple praying, and you had the publican there. Jesus talks about the Pharisee. He says, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this guy, because I do all these wonderful things. I fast twice in a week and all that. And publican, the tax collector, would just beat his breast, not even lifting up his eyes to heaven, and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that one, the publican, went to his house justified and not the other. When I say one sin is worse than another in the sight of God, I'm questioning God's justice. If the wages of sin is death, regardless to the sin, but one sin is worse than another, then I'm saying, God, you are not just, because you are giving a blanket punishment for a worse sin or a better sin. Crazy thought, isn't it, that there's a better sin? I question God's justice. But my God is just, my God is holy. And we're going to talk about that in Scripture. When I say that God can, that if one sin is worse than another, and God forgives this one and this one, I question His mercy. Lord, how is that merciful? This person did so much better than the other. Why are you showing the same blessing? I question God's justice. I question God's mercy when I say this is worse than another. When I say this lifestyle is worse than another. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that the thing this person is doing is right. I'm not saying things I've done in my past are right. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying when I try to put my judgment on someone's sin, that I stand as a judge and I'm judging God, saying He is not just. God hit me right square between the eyes with that on my way to work. And I had to repent. I had to pull it out. And you know, as we come to church, as I bring a message, most often it's what God is doing in me that I'm sharing with you, because we are people of like passions. We go through similar things. Maybe not identical, but similar things. We all face the similar judgments. Starting with James. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. We could just stop right there, call the sermon over. We're not going to, but we could. Says, if we really, 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 really do it to love our neighbor as ourself, you do well. But if you show partiality in any way, you commit sin and are judged by the law, are convicted by the law as transgressors. Verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I think I need to clear up one more point. I am not talking about the laws of the land. In the laws of the land, there are crimes and punishments set forth in statute. If you do this, the penalty is this. If you do this, the penalty is this. What I am talking about is sin and holiness. Sin. Sin and holiness. I'm talking about before God, a sin before God. We were at the pastor's meeting. Days run together. What day is today? Tuesday. We were at the pastor's meeting Tuesday. I believe it was. We were at the pastor's meeting Tuesday. I believe this is where I heard this. We'll put it that way. Someone talking and says, if you think you are living a holy, righteous life, there's a website called True Discipleship. And you should go there and just take a look at what the Bible defines as sin. And the Scripture references for the sin. Something like 667 different sins. The one that always gets me, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is a sin. If we know to do something good and don't do it, even that is a sin. Sin is that which separates us from God. Sin was, it separates, just as we just said here in James. If you fulfill the royal law, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 9. says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither, and in deference to the young ears in the room, I won't read the whole list. As you can read it, you can sit there and see that there's a bunch of things that are that we recognize as sin. But drop down to verse 11, and it says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Now I look at that list. I wasn't guilty of every one of them. But there's one or two I was. That's not a challenge for you to try to figure it out. But God delivered me. God set me free. God touched my heart and changed me and made me whole. When I see someone bound up in one or more of these sins, recognizing that those who aren't serving the Lord, they are lost. Those who are serving the Lord, God is able to change them and to bring them through. But my attitude toward people who are lost is recognizing that I'm not worried about what they're doing. I'm worried about the salvation of their soul, because if God doesn't deliver them, they are going to hell. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. As long as they are still breathing, as long as there is still breath, there is an opportunity for God to touch and change their hearts. And that should be my focus, crying out to them, not judging them, not saying, you're worse than somebody else, you're worse than me. I thank you, O Lord, I'm not like other men, I'm not like that guy. Not doing that, but recognizing that there, but for the grace and love and mercy of God, I was a sinner without hope. Until Jesus gave me hope. I was dead in trespasses of sins until He gave me His life. Praise God. Romans 3, beginning with verse 9, says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. Had it not been the Lord touching and changing my life, I'd have been dead. You've heard my bits and pieces of my testimony. You know there's been ample opportunity for me to have been dead if God didn't have another plan. But He did. And He brought me through. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside and have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Stop right there for just a second. The two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One of them was reviling Jesus, basically saying he was no better than us. He's no better than us. He claims these things, but can't do it. The other one said, don't you fear God? This man is innocent. He has done nothing to merit the punishment. You and I have. But he has done nothing to merit this punishment. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Have you no fear of God? Here's a passage, and of course I didn't get the notes on it because it hit my head just a second ago. But there's this passage that talks about not make sure that you do not rejoice in the calamity of your enemies. Because it just may be that God will turn around and punish you instead. Recognize that it's only the mercy of God that we are here today. We're all of an age where we have friends, family members, co-workers that are no longer with us. That their days, all of their days were written in the book before ever any of them were, and their last page was prior to today. The very fact that we're here is the tender love and mercy of God in our lives. And recognize that no matter what comes into our life, it is God's mercy that allows us to face it. It is God's strength and God's wisdom that brings us through it. But it is God working in us. We don't do it of our own will. We don't do it of our own power. It is by His grace and His mercy. 1 Peter 1. Actually, no, I'm still in Romans, verse 19. For we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul had said in another place, the law is good because when I read in the law, I recognized my sin. The law just reveals how we ought to live and reveals that we don't live what God had said. Each and every one of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 13, says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call upon the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself through this time of your stay here in fear. God judges our work. God judges our life. Praise God, our sins go beforehand. Praise God, our sins are covered. But our actions are what go toward our reward. Or lack of reward. I'm not going to read the rest of the scriptures. I'm really not. I will put them up online for the message. God tells us in Revelation, which is one of the scriptures on there, and I'm going to quote it from the King James because that's how I remember it, as opposed to the New King James, which is how it's written in here. It says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the whoremongers, the adulterers, and all liars will have their part in a lake which burns with fire. We can go through that list and say, well, I'm safe of all of this. But as the I don't even know who the group is. Of course, I can see them in my head, but can't put names on them. Have you ever told a lie? We're in early March. It's tax season. Have you ever taken a deduction that wasn't accurate? I have. Praise God, not recently, but I have. Have we ever done anything that we know not to be right? Have you ever known to do good and not done it? And the other 667 things listed as sins, or 665 after lying and not doing good. There's another scripture says the thought of foolishness is sin. Oh, Lord, help us. Except God intervened in our life, except for Jesus entering my life and making me whole, making me new, I had no hope. When I see somebody bound up in sin, my heart should be breaking for them, because I know where scripturally they're going. Where I was going, but for the mercy of God. But for the grace of God in my life to touch me and change my life and draw me by His Spirit. Jesus said, no one can come to me except my Father draw them. I take no credit for God changing my life. He just revealed in my heart that I was so broken. I was such a mess that I had no hope except for Him. And I finally surrendered and said, Lord, if you can do anything with this life, it's yours. I've always known that you're real. But if you can do anything with this, it's yours. When we encounter people, whether they are getting up in our face in opposition, we try to share the gospel with them and we get nothing but rejection. Whatever the situation is, somebody that's bound up is like, well, this is the way I'm living and you can't do anything to change it. You're right, but I know who can. But our hearts should be breaking. Lord, touch them. Lord, extend your mercy. Lord, meet them at the point of their need. Reveal their need to them, Father, that they might cry out to you, that they might seek your face. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you do well. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am so grateful for what God has done in my life. I am so grateful that I'm not the person that I used to be. I am so grateful that even in my foolishness, even in my wickedness, even in my running from Him, even in my persecuting Christians, even in just living in ways that I knew absolutely was not according to His Word, He had mercy and reached down and got my attention and drew me by His Spirit. I need to have that compassion, that loving my neighbor as myself, that I desire that for them above all. I've said before, heaven is not our goal, heaven is our destination. I don't have this goal of going to heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus put me there. He is the one who walks with me, who keeps my feet from falling, who when I do fall, picks me up according to His Word, and I stand in that. Even when I stumble, He is the one who lifts me up. He has paid the price for not one, not my past sins, not my present sins, but all my sins. And my heart needs to be for those people who don't know Him. My heart needs to be for those people around who are lost, who are struggling, who just don't understand. That be my focus, rather than saying, Lord, deliver them from that lifestyle, without recognizing that if I know to do good and don't do it, I'm sinning. That sin is that which separates us from God, separates them from God. And God is the only one who can change a heart. God is the only one who can forgive sin. And Jesus has paid the price that their sins be covered. I had 3 pages of Scripture today. I almost never have 3 pages of Scripture. We got through a little bit more than one. But the point of the matter is, and always is, there but for the grace of God go I. And because of the grace of God in my heart, my desire is for them to know God as well. The next person driving down the road, the person you encounter in the store, the person getting gas at the pump across from you, each and every person that we encounter, our families that don't know the Lord, those all around us should be a burden on our heart. Lord, draw them by your Spirit. For Father, if they don't come to know you, they will be separated from you and in torment forever. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and the adulterers and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire. Let's go through the list again. We just stopped the first two. Fearful, unbelieving. That's not even doing all this crazy stuff. Fearful and unbelieving are in that category, are in that list. So when we say this sin here is so bad, we forget the fact that just not knowing who God is, walking in our own confusion. We read the passage in Isaiah, there is none that does right. There's another passage we were going to get to. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus paid the price for you and me, for all of us. God so loved the world. Not God so loved God's little brown church. Not God so loved, the Southern Baptist Convention. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Scripture says, how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? If we're not telling people, if we're not demonstrating God's love, if we're not going out and trying to reach people, then we're not fulfilling that law. We're not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're having partiality and committing sin according to Scripture. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us. Help me. You've called me, you've called each of us to be a light in this generation, a light in this community, a light in this locality. I certainly would not have picked going to Vermont. I'm from Florida. I think I want to go to Vermont. When they said I was going through Vermont, I said, where's Vermont? You know? Granted, I was a while out of school. I'd forgotten a lot of things I learned, like some geography. I didn't know where it was. I didn't care to learn where it was until I was here, or until I was on my way here, because of the selfishness of my heart. Even going to serve the Lord, not caring about others. My Bible tells me that's sin. Lord, we all need your touch. Father, heal us. Lord, you have called us to be lights in the midst of darkness. Father, burn a light bright, bright in us, Father. You can be seen for miles. Lord, those things in our life, Father, that we allow to cloud out the light of your presence, those things in our life, Father, that we allow to dim, to make like a dirty window that the light can't shine through. Father, cleanse us. Make us whole, make us holy. That your light go forth, that your love go forth, that your grace go forth, that you touch and turn the hearts of people around us, Father. That as we walk in your presence, as we walk according to your will, as we walk being those faithful witnesses that you've called us to be, as we walk being messengers, sharing the good news, as we walk proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, as we walk interacting with the people around us, Father, that they see who you are by the way we act. Scripture says that others might see your good work and glorify our Father in heaven. Father, that the very works that we do bring glory to you. The very words from our mouth bring glory to you. The very attitude of our heart, the very nature of our being, showing your grace, showing your love, showing your mercy, that it impact those around us, Father, for your love, for your pleasure, for your purpose, and for your glory. Father, we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.